speaking of explicit images, 40% of teens have a Snapchat account. Are they using it primarily for sexting?
They're not using it primarily for sexting, but in saying that, over 1 in 10 have sent sexually suggestive or, you know, explicit photos via Snapchat.
They're not using it to send a photo of a BMX bike that that has got, is what you're saying,
yeah.
Ross. Like,
exactly.
It's pretty dodgy stuff that they're sending around.
It's true. And the biggest problem, though, they're doing it in the middle of the night. So a lot of the usage of this is happening between midnight and 6 a.m., sending that image to that one person, believing that it's not going to land up in any other place. And what's happening is it's been shared to many others because that relationship might break down or something happens. And the other thing that teens don't recognise is that the images on Snapchat can actually be retrieved.
There's like a secret folder. Some forensic scientists or something found out that there's a folder that all images get saved to.
Well, do you even need to be that smart, Ross? Can you just find, like could a teen find...
Like, is it online?
Yeah, it is online. There's YouTube videos that show you how to do it.
Geez.
Right, okay. So basically...
So it's not hard. It's actually really, really easy. So, yes, from a forensic perspective, it probably... took a little bit of initiative to be able to do it the first time, but now it's actually quite easy. And we've actually shown teens in our workshops how they can retrieve images in a very short period of time from their phone.
Why do you think this is going on? It didn't happen, like, I had a hidden mobile old Nokia. My dad thought mobiles were for drug dealers, so I wasn't allowed one.
The old Nokia with just Snake on it, really.
Yeah, it was even before that, right? But you know, so when I was a 12, 13-year-old, I didn't have it. Why do you think this sexting is going on now? What's happened?
Well, what's happened is that people, young people particularly, need to be constantly connected. And every day, you can imagine, you know, you and I and everybody, and for a young person, this is even a greater issue, is that they have this daunting fear of feeling disconnected from the world.
Yeah,
and
it's FOMO, fear of missing out.
It is FOMO. I mean, but, you know, actually with young people, I would actually say it's FOMO, the fear of missing anything.
All right. And, look, you run bullying classes. Well, not how to bully, but how to stop bullying.
How to combat it.
How to combat it. 10% of people you found are using phones to bully others. Is there a way of stopping this? What's your best advice for, let's say, teens that are listening now or their parents?
Who are victims of it?
You know, the key thing with it is actually helping teens and parents to understand what it means to actually engage in healthy online relationships. In the same way that you're having a relationship offline, the way in which then you conduct yourself online should be the same. And from a young person's perspective, they actually need to challenge themselves in terms of understanding how this can affect their reputation online. Because while they clearly understand that they can use the technology and they find it fun and exciting at the time, it can really easily lead to a permanent mark on their reputations, and that's what they don't understand. So from my experience in talking with young people, when you make that connection, it is like a light bulb moment in which they clearly understand that, particularly on their own experiences, what can happen. And you'd be unsurprised to know that when we run a workshop, say students in Year 9, most of them have never checked their privacy settings on their social networking sites or even searched themselves online to see what was out there.
That's
and when
scary.
They do that, that's when they actually see what's going on and they go, oh my gosh, this is an issue for me. So what I would say to parents in particular is that they actually have to try not to preach, but they can talk about the effects of poor judgment and consequences by making sure that they tell their kids, it doesn't matter what happens, they can come to them at any time if they're feeling in trouble or feeling unsafe, and they need to set boundaries. Probably the biggest thing is that I think parents need to take responsibility and set boundaries for the young people. They need to say to them, this is when we're going to have dinner, so you actually need to not use your mobile phone. You need to go offline. You're not allowed to have your mobile phone or any other device within your room at night.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking those devices away. You can use them at another point in time. And you know what's interesting? When we talk to young people in schools, they actually want their parents to say no. They actually want them to set those boundaries because it provides an excuse for them when they're talking to their peers.
I've got to go. My parents are forcing me. They might go, oh, my mum's a pain in the ass, but that's what they really want.
Mm.
If you want to find out any more info, where do we go, Ross?
You just go to our website, bestenemies.org.
All right, well, go and check it out. Ross Bark from bestenemies.org. Thanks so much, mate. Really interesting stuff.
Thanks, guys. Nice to chat with you.
Oh.